Welcome to the Collective Voice of Health IT, a Weedy podcast.
Fragmented, frustrating, impersonal. These are just a few words that are used to describe the consumer experience with U.S. healthcare. In a recent Accenture Global Healthcare Consumer Study, two-thirds of the respondents reported a negative experience while accessing care. Poor patient experiences, more often than not, cost healthcare organizations in the form of lost business. As an example, nearly 8 out of 10 patients in that survey who switched providers cited navigation issues as a motivating factor for making that change. Traditionally, both patients and providers have pointed to inadequate staffing as the problem. Too many patients, not enough people to help them. And we've pointed to staffing up as the solution. But is that what we need to do? I think our guest today, Patty Hayward with TalkDesk, might give us a better answer and some solutions. Solutions in which the staff burden on customer service can be lessened while we also empower the patients, the consumers, by giving them more control. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Collective Voice of Health IT, a Weedy podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Albright. I'm Chief Legislative Affairs Officer for Zelis, Z-E-L-I-S. Zelis is modernizing the healthcare financial experience for all. I also serve as the policy committee chair for Weedy, that's W-E-D-I. Weedy is a national membership organization where the health information technology community connects, collaborates, and creates solutions for a better health system. And this, of course, is the Collective Voice of Health IT, a Weedy podcast. As I said, today we're excited to talk to Patty Hayward. Patty is General Manager of Healthcare and Life Sciences at TalkDesk, which we'll hear more about today. Patty has over a quarter century of industry strategy experience, including working at organizations such as McKesson, Medicity, and Humedica. She is an expert in HIE, population health, pharmacy, process redesign for healthcare systems, and increasing access to patient information. Patty, welcome, and so very glad to have you here on the Collective Voice.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Excellent. So, Patty, you're coming from an experience working in your education on the health system side, on the biology side, and now you're working for a company that provides solutions across numerous industries for customer service. So tell us a little bit about that journey.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I started out my career at the bench in labs originally. Kind of went into working for the companies that I was kind of using their tools and things for. Went into healthcare when I started to work for McKesson, and really, you know, looked at how do I help health systems automate manual processes, transform their processes to adopt new technologies. So it's always been a big passion of mine. And, you know, about 15 years ago, my mom was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, but also many other chronic diseases sort of all kind of hit her at the same time. And, you know, working with her and helping her through her care journey was probably more difficult than anyone should ever have to navigate. You know, there were several incidences that wound her up in a hospital bed for, you know, multiple days for things that she should not have been there. You know, it led me to Medicity, which was an HIE company that really looked at how do we help physicians communicate across and outside of their health systems, because sharing information is so important. So I started, you know, working on things there, started working with pharmacies as well on just how can we help health systems get more pharmacists on care teams and really part of you know, making sure that medications are reconciled, making sure that they're on the right medication. She was on so many therapies, and so many of them cause so many side effects, right? So there's this huge balance between heart and your blood sugar and your kidneys. Her kidneys ended up, you know, failing, and she had to go into dialysis, and that she didn't make it through that. So it was, you know, you see these sorts of things and you start to look at the navigation of all that and the care coordination. And, you know, back then we weren't nearly as good as we are now, but we still have such a long way to go. And when this opening came up, you know, one of the things that really hit me was just how do you navigate and how do you actually contact organizations? How do you even just have a conversation with health systems? I'm sure all of us have been frustrated with being on hold for long periods of time, trying to make appointments, not getting the right answers on the first call, having to navigate through various providers and, you know, coordinate care between them. And it's just a really frustrating, as you said, fragmented experience. And, you know, you aren't ever known. Like every time you call, I used to joke that, you know, my primary care doc, I've been going to her for 20 years, even though she knows me when I walk in, when I call them, it's like I'm brand new every time, right? They don't know my journey with them. They don't know any of the things that I've done in the past or what my next step should be. So I'm telling them, you know, I talk a lot about, you know, an incident that I had where I had an accident, had to go to the ER, you know, lots of stuff was done. I was handed a piece of paper that said, here's all the people you need to call and go do, right? So it's all on you. You are not, no one's proactively reaching out to you to help you navigate these things. And, you know, one of the things was I had to do was go see a new specialist that I had never been to before. And so trying to call that organization, I literally got put in voicemail every day for a week because I really wanted to get in, as you can imagine, a follow-up from an ER visit. You want to get in as quick as possible. And every day for a week, I was put in voicemail. They never called me back. Not one time, even though I said, hey, this is the second time I've called in. And here's all my information again. And second, third time. And the funny thing was, Matthew, the next week I got a text message from them that said, hey, we've received your referral. You should, guess what? Call us. Well, I didn't. I just, you know, I looked in and I said, let me see what happened here. And it turned out it was like a revenue cycle company that had decided they could probably help them with leakage because they weren't getting their referrals coming in. And so, you know, someone probably sold them something to say, we can help you. And so looking at all of those sorts of things together, I looked at an organization like Talkdesk who has great expanse across all the verticals and can I can take the expertise outside of healthcare and how did they solve problems for other organizations? Take that with my expertise in healthcare and health systems and understanding the special needs, because let's face it, healthcare is different. It is not the same. There's a reason why the horizontal tech companies have sort of crashed on the shore of healthcare in many instances and not been able to solve problems. So having that insider's view and then building an entire vertical around that to say, we've got product people, we've got, you know, implementation people, support people, et cetera, who understand healthcare. That's kind of how you go at solving these problems in a better and unique way, because you take that horizontal and you bring in the vertical expertise, and then you can really address some symptoms and ultimately hope to, you know, move us forward.
I love that story and use the term you're taking insider's viewpoint of health systems and you have like, you also have multiple levels of that, yes. What that means, right? Because you were also a consumer and you were a yes. patient. So you've got that insider view of what the consumer and the patient's gone through as well as worked in health system. So tell us a little bit more then about Talkdesk and tell us what they've done in maybe other industries as they're looking at healthcare.
Yeah. So Talkdesk is a, you know, a contact center as a service company. The first one born natively in the cloud and really built on the modern microservices architecture, which has allowed us to really rapidly develop new products, new perspectives, things like that, and to deploy in a pretty rapid manner. And so, you know, really saw some really big growth over the past decade and, you know, working with every industry you can possibly imagine, whether it be financial services, whether it be the retail industry, airlines, et cetera. You know, we've worked with a lot of organizations who have a lot of interesting, you know, problems to solve, whether that be, you know, hey, I need to help schedule logistically deliveries of food, you know, from my warehouses to elsewhere. And how do I ensure that the people can call in and find out where that truck is, right? When is it coming? How is all that kind of working? You can kind of start to see like some of the things that we borrowed and put into the healthcare experience cloud, right? So there's different things around logistics. There's different things around just ensuring that people get to the right customer service agent, right? So if they're calling in for a return for retail, they're not given to the same the same person who's maybe doing, you know, outbound sort of selling for that company and things like that. So you're not just coming in and then having to, you know, listen to 12 different press one, press two, press three for this, press four for that, but having ability to integrate in with the system of record that a company has. So you know, out there in the horizontal, you see Salesforce, Microsoft, a lot of different kinds of CRMs, homegrown different types of pieces that people utilize that are real different in healthcare, right? That's probably one of the reasons why we had some issues with customer services. We don't have the same systems of record in healthcare as we do outside. It's much more of a very specific type of thing. And those systems aren't necessarily built with the same kinds of, hey, here's my customer and here's the things that are important to them, right? Again, these EHRs are built around clinical systems. They're built around the workflow that is needed for a physician or a nurse or a pharmacist to interact with them. They're not built around elucidating information that's important for a call center agent to know. So how do you kind of work with these organizations to grab information that would be important natively and present that in a way that's usable? Because I think my tenet when I first started here was we need to make healthcare feel more synchronized, personalized, and radically convenient, right? Synchronized across all channels. So if I call you and I talk to you live voice, that's one set. If I text you, if I go on your website, you know, any of these different interactions should synchronize. I should know that you had these interactions with me. They shouldn't be happening in a vacuum, right? So that's synchronized. Personalized, we should know who you are when you call. You've been a patient of ours for 20 years. We have your whole history. And yet every time you call, it's like you're brand new, right? So we need to make sure that we can present information that makes someone feel more personalized. And then convenient. There's, let's face it, I'm on calls like this all the time, right? I'm on different Zoom meetings, phone calls, et cetera. So, you know, trying to self-serve is very important for me. I want to be able to do it digitally. I don't want to have to talk to someone because oftentimes when you call them, there someone has to call you back with information. And guess what happens? I can't answer the phone and then I can't get them again because they didn't give me their number. They gave me their call center number. So that interaction needs to be a lot easier to do. I need to be able to self-serve things. So those are my central tenets when we came in and decided, what are we going to build here? How can we help health systems do this differently than they're doing today? And it can't just all be digital because we know that people are still going to call you. Healthcare is complex. It, regardless of how much we can help with digitalization and different things, people are still going to call. This is a really, typically when people interact in healthcare, something's going on, right? There's some major event and you need to have, whether it's just the reassurance or, hey, I just want to know it got done. I have questions that aren't just, you know, really quick, or I have a large bill that I now have to figure out how I'm going to pay because I can't do it with what I have in my bank account. There's conversations that need to happen. So people are going to call. So we need to be able to do things that allow the time and the empathy for those interactions that are important by offloading those things that we can do in a quick and easy manner.
Yes, yes. You just described the difference between my mother and I on how we do just about everything, right? So when we're talking about healthcare bills or healthcare, she says, well, I just need to get somebody on the phone. I just need to get somebody who works me down. I'm like, Ma, don't get on the phone. They're not going to know. Go right on their portal. She says, well, what's the portal? I don't want to look at a computer, right? So you just described two different customer experiences. You also described a number of things, you know, I think in healthcare, like you said, health, I hear people in healthcare say this all the time, we can't learn from other industries. You can't just apply what you learned in travel or banking or whatever that you have. You can't just apply that to healthcare because we're complicated, right? And we are complicated. And as you said, there's different systems of records and there's certain technological obstacles which are out there. But you also named a number of things which are universal to customer service, and that is personalization. You're absolutely right. The health system and my portal and the person I call when I'm trying to get together with my primary physician, they don't know me. They don't remember me from the last time. And Amazon, you know, knows what kind of soap I use. And
they suggest new things based on your history, right?
That's exactly right. And why shouldn't the health system think more consumer-like, right? Like if what is important to me is that I need to talk to a person, then that should become obvious with anybody who pulls up my record. Or if what is important to me is the fact that I've got walking pneumonia, not the fact that I've got an itch on my shoulder, right? Like whatever it is, right?
Absolutely.
it can be carried over. So talk to us a little bit about that. Maybe talk to the healthcare doubters out there and say, a lot of people will say, look, it is about the physician relationship. We're not consumers here. We're not looking to buy or shop. We just want to talk to somebody who tells us that we're going to be okay or that we're not going to be okay.
Yeah. Right? That clinician relationship is super important. And I will tell you that, during the experiences that I personally had, the clinicians were all first class, right? There was never any issue in those things, but that's not the entirety of the event, right? Like, I mean, you still need to be able to get through the system and do different things. And, I can tell you, I didn't go to that specialist. I went someplace else, the one that I couldn't get to, right? Even though that was what was suggested to me by my physician, I went to a different person, right? You know, I went to my network of people and said, hey, who else is out there that can do these things? And I got a good recommendation and I had a friend who called them because they knew them and they got me in the next day. Guess where I went? And now I'm a patient there. So if you think that consumers aren't voting with their feet, you're dead wrong, right? I mean, none of us are completely tied to our clinical team that we currently have. If someone's going to present a better experience and has all the credentials, you're going to go to them. So that's number one, just to realize. The second is that even the EHRs are starting to realize this. So Epic has come out with their CRM, Cheers, right? Knowing they have all of this rich information, they should be able to present information and have information that's important from a consumer perspective. And so how are we able to utilize that, but then still have that same system of record throughout the entire piece? Super important, right? I think that, and then there's other ancillaries that we work with outside of just sort of the full provider world, but sort of, your folks like your DME providers, right? So durable medical equipment, we work a lot with those guys. They need a prescription from the physician. They need to work with reimbursement from payers, but they have a much more consumer-oriented perspective because there is so much choice out there for them as well. So there's a lot of different areas that we sort of learn from and then try to bring back into the health systems. A couple of examples that we have worked on to make really happen quickly is, okay, we know based on, and this is a big, we do a lot with children's hospitals. And if you think about what families are going through when you have to access that kind of care, it's hard. And the trauma of having to explain your situation over and over again is big, right? It's way different than if it's just yourself. When you have a young child that's going through something, it's really, really hard. So they wanted to be, we have a one that wanted to be able to understand what was happening with the patient and then directly route them to a team that could help them, as opposed to going through a central call center that you asked a bunch of questions and then manually routed them. We make assumptions and route them, right, to a care team that can help them. And we're very, very efficient with that and able to really get them correctly to who they need to talk to without having to go through a bunch of phone trees and describing what's going on, et cetera, and know themselves. That's the key thing. Know themselves where they need to go. Because sometimes you don't, right? And right. So, in fact, most times you don't, I would argue. So they took it upon themselves to really make that happen. And that's been a really fun project to work on. How do we do things like just connect something as easy as a chatbot on a computer that someone maybe goes to find a physician or, whatever, and then connect that to the EHR so they can also schedule an appointment through it. They can also escalate to a live agent if they have more questions and have all the context of that chat that you had on the chatbot on the computer go with you. So you don't have to re-explain yourself over and over again every time you move from place to place. Those are, easy things. But when you think about a single platform versus all of the niche vendors that are out there doing all these different things and their information stays in a silo, that's game changing for agents. The call center is a difficult place for health systems to manage. It has higher turnover, I would argue, than almost any other area. They're not as educated typically as you would get in your clinician field, obviously. I know one health system that talked to me about it takes them 3 months to train their call center agents before they even let them take a call, right? Think of the complexity that call center agent has to deal with. Then they also told me their average tenure is 18 months. That's crazy. Right. That's crazy. Like, how can we help two things? One, how can we help reduce that 3 months down by using AI to sort of listen to the conversations and then give them information in real time so that they don't have to wait as long because there's something feeding them with next steps of what to do distinctly and not a whole article that they have to read and consume while they're speaking to someone, which is never going to happen. How do we do those sorts of things? And then how do we take things off the plate of the sort of more mature agents, right, that have been there for a while, that are more tenure, that have more expertise, and how do we keep them working at a higher level so that they have more investment in staying, you know, allow them to do more empathetic things. You know, I always say no one goes into healthcare just to get a paycheck. You're usually going into healthcare because you want to help people. You have this, you know, service mentality of I want to go help people and I want to help them navigate. And I have that fire to do things. Allow them to do those things. And in fact, incent them to do those things by presenting them with information that allows that to happen. And I think wonderful things can happen.
I love that. We talked about empowering the patients through kind of better customer service in the healthcare. But I think just about every industry, every company has call center issues, right? In terms of hiring and keeping people around. Yeah. The idea of empowering the call center employees and giving the employees the sense that they're doing more and more complicated things, they're helping people more and more. That's just a terrific idea of like a self-reflective mirror of maybe the problem with your call centers. You need to like, you know, help those call center people, you know, feel good about their jobs, right? That they're actually saving lives out there in a sense, if they're connecting the right dots for them. So that's a great, I love that philosophy. Yeah. Talk to us a little bit about the technology, where the technology is now, and certainly an exciting time, or at least the headlines tells us is exciting times. Where are we headed and are things going to pick up? Are things going to get more economical, or what's the...
Yeah. So I think today what we're all about is a lot of integrations, right? So really deeply utilizing the information in the EHRs. We've got a great relationship with Epic. We have a partnership there where we're actually co-innovating products and co-innovating things together to really help evolve that sector with communication, with call center support, with patient experience, et cetera, to make that work really, really well and connecting all of those things, even for marketing. So if someone needs to say, send out an entire, you know, a lot of people send out things about, you know, their wellness visits and different things like that, that you send out, you want to know if those campaigns are working, right? Are people calling in on them or I'm just wasting my breath sending them out? So being able to connect all of that together, that's all really great stuff that we can do and work and mingle data. So that's today, right? You know, doing those sorts of things. I think as we start to move forward with the large language models and really infusing those and working through things, you're going to see what I call the democratization of sort of some of these bots being able to be utilized in a way that people want to consume them. I know today when I get a bot, I'm typically like, how do I get out of this? Just talk to me.
Exactly.
Right. I'm a little different now because of where I work and I actually am curious about how well they work. So I tend to ask them weird questions just to see what will happen.
It's more of an experiment for you though, right?
Exactly. So it's a little more fun than it used to be where I just usually would just try to hit zero, which would just send me back to the beginning of the loop and I couldn't get out of it. So, cause people have gotten wise to that, like don't ever let zero be the exit point.
So you can't hit that button anymore. Huh?
You can't hit that. You have to listen. So I think that, you know, being able to bring out bots that can actually listen, understand, and give you information in a consumable way is going to be a much better experience as we move forward. Again, I think that ability to support those agents in such an even better way. Today, we present information, but it's not these snippy little, here's my next step based on where you need to go so that these next best actions are really crisp and clear and correct based on the information that you have in your knowledge library and things like that. That's coming quickly, but that's not quite there yet. And I think my big vision is, you know, how do we help empower things like the golden moment? And, you know, what healthcare thinks about when it becomes the golden moment is you're here, you hear a patient say something like, all right, they're calling in to refill a prescription. and you notice that they haven't refilled that prescription for 60 days. Meanwhile, they're supposed to have refilled that every month. The golden moment is to be able to have a conversation about that right then to understand why. Right? Is it they don't have a car to get to there? It gives me side effects that I'm not comfortable with. I don't have the money to pay for it every month, right? What are the things that are preventing them from, say, taking their statin and their diabetic, right? And that's a big piece on star ratings, on all of our quality measures. We know that someone will stay healthier if they're a if they're a diabetic and they're on a statin, right? And if they're only taking it every other day, or, you know, on a much less regular basis, they're not going to have the efficacy that they need in order to be healthier. And let's face it, that's what we all want. So how do we address those discussions right then? So if we can hear that sort of thing going on and then be able to bring up, hey, let's ask this person what's going on and then connect them with someone that can help right in that moment. Today, what we do is we take those moments, we run reports and we try to call them and have conversations or do retouch. And we're only successful so many times. So I am really excited from a population health person of how can we take some of these really rich information that we see in our conversations and put them to use in real time.
Right, right. It's interesting you mentioned real time too, because we've had speakers come on this show that say, you know, the real time information is very important. That golden moment that you're talking about, that might change tomorrow. Their whole living situation might change tomorrow. And for many people, it changes on a daily basis where they are. So to grab that learning moment and treat it, or at least have somebody tell you what to do next in that moment.
And it
feeds
into social determinants of health, right? So understanding that that person doesn't have a vehicle and maybe they don't even have an address, right? So how do we help them pick up their medications in a way that works for them? How can we work through getting them, you know, the charity care that they need so that we can get their prescriptions paid for that they desperately need? You know, what are the different financial avenues we can pull? There's lots of ways you can get those medications paid for by pharma, by different charity pieces inside the health system. So there's a lot of different things and levers that sometimes we just don't know to pull. And so if you can hear those things and you can record them and use that information in a way that helps us forward population. Now, that's what I'm super excited about, right? I love the consumer piece and I like, you know, making it better. But really, how do we move healthcare forward? That's what I'm really excited about.
Right. Excellent. Excellent. And another term you used was next best steps. I think so often that's just what you need when you leave the doctors. You're like, did you take notes on what he said? Did you hear what the doctor said? And then what did the other nurse say? And right. And you don't know what that next best step is. And even with a phone call, like, who am I supposed to call next? I've got three numbers here. And so that's a great concept.
Absolutely.
Talk a little bit about, so we've got interoperability. It's in full swing right now. It's certainly not at the ideal state that we want it to, but certainly the federal government's behind it. Yep. And so we have this big push, at least at the federal level. It's free the data. Let's get the data in the hands of the clinicians and in the patients when they need it, where they need it, at the right time, at the right place. And then we've got state legislation, and certainly the feds are worried about it too. Concerned about privacy, and not just healthcare privacy, but where you live and consumer data in general. How is that dynamic fitting into what Talkdesk does and what you do every day?
Yeah, responsible use of AI, such a big topic right now of how do you contain that? You know, the power of the large language model is also the risk. Having all of that data brought into the same thing. So being able to design the product so that it contains that information and doesn't allow it to sort of leak out and be accessed is paramount, critical, so important to everything that we're doing, and certainly a big part of all of the design work that we're working through. Data residency as well, making sure that it doesn't, you know, no information leaves the geographic area that it needs to be in, whether that be the US or out in the international marketplace as well. All of the different countries have different types of legislation and different requirements around data. It's certainly a worldwide concern. So all of those things are fundamental. And then the other thing is just transparency and reporting and understanding what's being used where, and all of those different aspects are big pieces of the design center as well.
Very good. Patty, I've enjoyed this conversation tremendously. I'll leave you with the last word. Anything else you want to talk to listeners about or leave them with?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just so excited for where the industry is going. I don't think we've seen advancement like this in what we're doing and so in forever. Like, I don't know that we ever have, right? If you think about just from the start of the pandemic until now and the drastic leap forward that healthcare has made, you know, everybody, especially in healthcare, you know, we're the slowest to adopt new technology. Let's face it. We are. But I think we've proven over the pandemic and the rapid adoption of technology that there is opportunity to grow quickly and to move with caution, with sensibility, all the things that we need to, but also with the eye towards the economics, right? A lot of this new technology is really going to help to reduce cost as we go forward and to allow different things to be streamlined, to be used correctly, to get us to a point where, you know, hopefully we can really reduce the cost of healthcare. And I know that's a big piece of what a lot of folks are talking about today.
Yeah, excellent. Right, it's the consumer experience, but the consumer experience, the fragmented, the not connecting the dots that we see today is also costing us money, costing us taxpayers money, costs us individually money and time. And yep,
absolutely, it is.
Excellent, Patty. Well, I've enjoyed this conversation completely. I've learned a lot, and I hope the listeners have too. Thank you, Patty, for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And this has been the Collective Voice of Health IT. A Weedy podcast where the health information technology community connects, collaborates, and creates solutions for a better health system. You can find this episode and many more on our website, weedy.org. Thank you all for joining us, and be safe.